Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. It's time again for another interview episode on the Human Technology Podcast. Today I have Stéphane Ferrand on the show. He is a long-term colleague, friend of mine. We're together in the HMI arena since, well, it at least feels like ages. We met something like 8 or 10 years ago on an automotive HMI conference, and he is with Stellantis, which is the result of the merger between PSA and FCA, and one of the biggest car companies on the globe, with tons of different brands. Some of them are my favorite brands, belong to my favorite brands like Jeep or Alfa Romeo, but they also include Opel, Peugeot, Citroën. So it's a huge company. It's a new company, and I'm super happy that Stéphane gave me 45 minutes of his time so that we had a chat on, well, the way he came into the position he is, what drives him, and about the present and the future of HMI at Peugeot and Citroën. I hope you will enjoy it, and welcome to the show, Stéphane Ferrand. Today I have an interview partner. His name is Stéphane Ferrand. He is of Stellantis. Some of you may not know what Stellantis is. I think Stéphane will talk about this. And he is an HMI expert. He's a long-term friend of mine. We met each other something like 10 years ago for the first time at a conference. And we have a lot of common ideas about what automotive HMIs are, how they should be. And I'm very interested in hearing a couple of your opinions on a couple of things. And Stéphane, welcome to the show, and thanks that you take the time to be part of the Human Technology Podcast.
Okay, thank you for the invitation. I'm very glad to have this interview with you. So yeah, just few words about Stellantis. So Stellantis is a fusion of PSA and FCA, Fiat Chrysler, and now it's a big automotive company with almost 14 brands, different from US, European, and worldwide. So I'm in Stellantis. I'm a technical expert for HMI, more especially dedicated to the description of the HMI for vehicle functionalities like driving assistance system or safety systems.
All right. Yeah, excellent. Can you name a few brands of Stellantis, a few car brands? Because I think some of my listeners may not be aware. You said something like 14 brands. Can you name a few of them?
Yes, of course. So from the ex-PSA world, of course, there is Peugeot, Citroën, and DS, so three French brands. And from FCA part, there is, from US part, there is Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and from the Italian part, there is Fiat, Lancia, Alfa, Maserati, and I think it's all.
All right. I mean, that's a pretty broad range, and a couple of my favorite brands is in there, cars like the Dodge, for example, or the Jeep. I really love these American cars, and so, yeah, great, excellent. Stefan, talk a bit about yourself. Where do you come from? What is your background? What brought you to the point where you are today?
Oh, long story. I start in PSA in 2000, so 20 years now. My first position was about electrical vehicle. It's my technical background. I come from the power electronics, and I was in charge of the development of electric vehicle. After, due to internal organization change and so on, I go to the electronic body parts. So I enter in the world of the inboard electronics, and I start to work on the HMI since 2002. I begin with the technology part, so the display technology, the HUD technology. So in the innovation department, I was in charge of all the new technology innovation concerning the HMI device. So display, head-up display, and command, switch, controls, and lever, and so on. After, in 2008, I start more general project about the cockpit synthesis. So I was in charge of new cockpit synthesis development from the innovation part. And since 2010, I am at the expert position. So in Stellantis, it's a dedicated role, and the expert has the role to support the operational team to solve a specific issue, to manage the transversal policy, and to find the new technology and new way to work.
Okay. So you come out of more, let's say, the technological, the physical part of the HMI, right?
Yes, my background is engineering. So I am an engineer, and I'm not ergonomics. So yes, I come from the technical and technological world, and I enter in the more soft things like the psychology, cognitive ergonomics, and so on, on the works. But yes, my technical background is engineering.
All right. Okay. Had not been aware of this. So I learned something new about you today.
Okay.
Right, so let's move on to what you do at Stellantis. Last time we met at Berlin in, I think, late June, at the Car HMI conference, you talked about the new HMI solution that you have for Peugeot, Citroën, and DS. Can you talk a bit about this project, about this HMI?
Yes, for the this new generation of car, so we launch now. we change the way to operate the ADAS system, so driver assistance system, in a way to propose a more intuitive and more simple interaction to the user. So we start the project from 2016. Yes, so 4 years. to rethink about the way to deliver the information. So which graphical element we can put in the instrument cluster, and what can be the best way to operate the systems. So I was not alone, of course. it's a teamwork. We make this works with dedicated teams with the different skills. Of course, I was in charge of the more technical engineering part, but there was style people from the graphic design, ergonomics people from the cognitive ergonomics, and people from more the technical definition of the electronic parts. So we was a small team of six people, and yes, we deliver this new HMI from the ID to the part in the car now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you said that you have a couple of new approaches in this. There is new solutions in this. Can you talk a bit about this? What is new? What's different about the new solution that you have?
Yes, it's more different than new. Of course, we use existing technology or existing things. But so what is different? It's we try to have a very simple things and to avoid to have a complex symbol to understood to new grammar to learn for the user. And the start of this project was to propose an HMI who fit for the newcomer in this kind of system. So very easy to understand, easy to operate. For example, just an example, all the different systems, so speed limiter, cruise control, drive assist, which is the combination of cruise control and lane positioning system. All these systems are always activated with the same action and with the same button. So very simple to learn, and the user who don't know the system is able to operate it from the beginning, from the discovery. And the same for the feedback. In the former execution, we have a symbol, so with for each feature, but the symbol, you have to learn the symbol. It's not self-explaining. And we give up this symbol to use a view who represent what the car is doing. So for example, for the cruise control, the car is doing manage the longitudinal control with the distance setting with the leading car and the speed management. So to represent that, we provide an image with the green with a green road and the speed set point in green. So You know the car, it operates the speed and manage the distance. And the same for the lane positioning assist, so the lateral management. We put in the graphical feedback a steering wheel. So you know the car is controlling or not the steering wheel by the color of the steering wheel. So green, it's in operation. Gray, it's in standby and waiting for activation. And with lanes on the side of the road to show you are keeping in the lane.
Okay. Basically, two questions after this. The first one is, this ADAS system is basically a level 2, according to SAE, level 2 automation. Is that right?
Yes.
So how do you avoid the mode confusion? How do you communicate what is the task of the car and what is the task of the driver, and how do what do you do if that changes, if the car, for example, cannot drive by itself anymore?
Yes, we stay in level two, so it's why this representation with the steering wheel, we have the steering wheel, but we have the hand on steering wheel on the symbol in the view. So we keep the representation with hand on steering wheel to let know that the user have to keep the hand on steering wheel. So you are not allowed to be in hands off operation, and as all the L2 system, when you remove your hands from the steering wheel, you have a list of warning with escalation. It's as by the regulation, it's everybody does the same. So yes, the most important to avoid the mode confusion, it's to keep the driver in the loop, and for that we ask him to keep the hand on steering wheel. So it's a good way to give the good mental representation of the system. It's the car, it's not driving by itself because you have to hold the steering wheel.
Okay. So you have to keep your hands on the steering wheel all the time. You cannot take them off.
Yes, you can off for few seconds. Of course, mm-hmm. you have the freedom to be in hands-off operation for 15 seconds before the first warning, and after 5 seconds and 5 seconds. But yes, so you have a small tolerance due to let the user do some movement, of course, to grab something or to move, but in the normal operation and in the way we explain the feature, you have to keep your hand on the steering wheel every time. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. And you said you have an escalation in there. Probably it's just like a visual signal, then you have an audio signal, and maybe you have an even louder audio signal, something like this.
Yes.
How is this escalation, and what happens at the end of the escalation?
The escalation, yes, it's first step, it's only visual. After the second, it's visual and sound, orange visual and sound. And third level, it's red visual and higher sound. So mm-hmm. two level of sound. And at the end, we disengage the system with the red alert. So take control, and with the high sound, and the driver have to take back the control because the system is disengaged.
Okay.
It's the end of the operation. If you don't follow the rules of the system is disengaged.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, this seems to be the more or less standard, right? I mean, I've seen this in other cars as well, pretty
yes,
much
yes,
the same steps, and then at the end it turns off.
So yes, it's very classical because it's well described in the regulation. So all the manufacturers have at the end the same philosophy because we follow the same regulation. So there is some variant in the color, in the type of sound, of course, but the general escalation process, it's the same for everybody because it's very precisely described in the regulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Another question on this HMI solution we've just talked about. I know that you have adapted this for at least three different brands, right? For Peugeot, Citroën, and DS. How did you do it, and is it planned to roll it out to other brands like, I don't know, the Jeep or the Alfa Romeo?
We will see. No, for the ex-PSA brand, of course, we work because we start this project. Stellantis was not existing, of course, so we was in a pure PSA world when we make this project. So yes. In the PSA approach, we have always the approach to have a modular solution. So with the same technical basic, same functionality, same logic, same software, but with the first layer different from style to style. So the if you see the steering wheel control are the same behind, because you have the same number of switch, the same position of switch, and the same functionality behind each switch, but the cover is different for Peugeot, for DS, and for Citroën. And of course, this modular logic we think to apply in the whole Stellantis world, but it's not yet done. So we it's less than 1 year we are in Stellantis. So of course, the project are not well launched for common parts. But we are working on that.
I think in the Fiat Chrysler world, they must have had their own HMI developments and groups and teams. And is there any cooperation between them, or is it still something like you are more for the old PSA brands and there are other people for the more FCA brands?
No, of course we will merge, but up now it's not done. But yes, it's. It's on the plan to merge everything, but for the moment we are focused on the on our current project, because the project we launch now was done in the XPSA and FCA world. So we continue and we finish the project, but of course for a new project we start with a complete merge of engineering, but it's. Only the beginning, so I'm not able to speak deeply how we are organized now.
Yeah. Okay, no confidential information, please. This will bring both of us into trouble if you talk about secrets.
Yes.
But one more question. I'm aware that you had an organization in PSA called UXCT. And what role will it play? Is it still existing, or will it be integrated, or what is the status? What's happening there?
Yes, UXCT in the ex PSA world, it's a plateau where all the métier involved on the user experience are gathered to work together on the different projects. So we have the engineering, we have the style, graphic design, product, ergonomics, innovation, different components of engineering, electronic engineering, mechanical engineering, and so on. So all the people involved in the HMI and UX experience are gathered in the same plateau. And again, of course, we will continue this approach in Stellantis world, but it's not yet finalized how it will work in the Stellantis. But yes, there is the plan to continue this approach to have a cross-functional plateau to deliver the best product for the user at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, I really like the idea of the UXCT as this plateau you talked about, to have this common work, this common activities. And I mean, I have never been there, but from the pictures you are showing in your presentations, I can see that this must be a highly creative, very focused kind of place with a very, very strong user focus and a very strong output focus.
Yes, and if you look for on YouTube, you will see some presentation, some video about the UXCT. We have made some video to show the place. So, no, yes, it's a very good place, and it's very an open plateau, and so the people are very free to exchange, and it's very important to solve a problem, to go directly to the graphical designer to to just ask a question or to solve a small problem directly, because we are in the same place, we know each other because we work from 4 years now together, and so it's a very effective way to work, because of course everybody done his own work, so no problem, but the proximity with the different teams helps to solve problem and to have a creativity focus, and of course the final objective is always to provide the best user experience for the systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it really works well. This is what I see from this. Okay, so let's move on. What are your ideas? I mean, you're an expert since more than 20 years in the automotive industry. You are an HMI professional. How do you see the future of automotive HMIs, of automotive user experience? How will it be in a few years from now?
Always the future, it's always moving, but I think we will continue on this on the trend we have from some years now to continue with digital interface, touch screen, big display, and the evolution will be more on the content, so the smart content, intelligent assistant, so to provide a proposition to have a more simple interaction by the fact the system and the car will able to propose things than the user have to find some element in the menu and so on. So I think the future, from external point, will be quite the same. So of course there is different size of display, position of display. Things, the style, it's always move on. So we have different cockpit interpretation, but in the term of general logic, we will keep the logic we have with instrument cluster, digital instrument cluster, and touch screen, and to be able to provide the more intelligent content with this device, and of course with the ramp up of the vocal interaction. It's now it's used very widely with the phone, and with the car it's already in the street, and we will continue and we will develop the vocal interaction, because it's very useful to find shortcut or to ask very dedicated things without search in a menu with is a big suite of topics in the menu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I totally agree with most what you say. That there's one question that is driving me at the moment in various projects. How do you see the role of artificial intelligence in the future of automotive HMIs and automotive user experiences?
The artificial intelligence, it's a technical means, so it's not a finality to put artificial intelligence, but it's a tool to provide the best things. And for a very simple example to give the picture, but if the user do the same thing every time, it's every day at the same place, he do a certain action call his wife, for example, the artificial intelligence with deep learning systems and so on can learn that. And in the next time, propose things before the user press the button. So it will give the impression of very intelligent car, able to deliver the command or the information before the user asks for it. So it's the main point. And other point, it's and it's already existing in some consumer electronic device. But for example, the possibility to for the car to know where the car go by learning the different travel. So if the user do the always the same travels, the artificial intelligence it's able to forecast the next travel, so to propose the best route to avoid traffic, the best route to optimize the autonomy with the electrical vehicle, and so on. So yes, it's the main point for artificial intelligence is to forecast and to anticipate the user need by proposing things before the user ask it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is pretty much my view as well, that we can use it to make the personalization of the HMI even better fitting to the user, to contexts, to use cases, so that we get this very nice fit between human and technology so that they add up to each other and not hinder each other.
Yes. And it's what we propose with our new system, but we have to go further. It's with our new system we have a widget system, so we are able to provide different content and fully reconfigurable. And now the first launch, this configuration, it's done first by the car manufacturer, but after the user, of course, can adjust and change the widget and so on. So as same than the smartphone, but the next step will to propose the right content according the use, according the situation, according the past use of the user. If he prefer to have such a widget or not, we can push in the first place the widget he use very frequently, and the ones never use we can put in the second level. So yes, again, the intelligence of the car can help to have the good configuration to provide the good content for the right person in the right time. It's easy to say, it's not so easy to do, but it's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm fully aware of, that this I see artificial intelligence more like a theoretical concept. We're making the very first steps towards realization in cars. And we are testing it out and trying it out, but I think we will not really know where the future will take us to and what all the details are.
Yes, of course. The key point, it's the car are fully centralized. So in the main body controller in the car, there is all the information. Because it's the gateway for all the network and so on. So we have the chance to have a central controller able to have all the information. So after, it's not so easy to put the data processing and to find the right rules and the right change. But the basics are here because in the central controller, all the data are available, and again, it's not so easy, but we have just to make the processing of the data. So the technical base is here. So after, we have to work.
Right. Now we have to work as the user experience and the HMI guys to create the right solutions. Okay, another technical issue I'd like to touch. Automation and autonomous driving. How do you see that as an HMI professional? I mean, we have these different levels according to SAE. We talked about level 2 already. How do you see level 3 and level 4, 5? When will it be? How will it be? Will it ever be at all?
Oh, a good good question. The topic you see and you speak at the beginning, we meet each other in a lot of conference from a long time. 5 years ago, everybody speak about autonomous driving. It will be the new revolution in car and so on. Honestly, now it's less important, or because we face to the technical reality. Honestly, for a passenger car, level 4, level 5, it's very expensive. So it's very difficult to provide the full set of sensors with a full set of software to provide the complete safety asked by the level 5 with an affordable price for a passenger car. So the goal for passenger car, again, for individual user, the people who buy our car, it's more we will go to level 3, but I don't think level 4 and level 5. Level 4 and level 5 will be, if it exists, more dedicated to taxi, self-driving taxi or transport shuttle or like something like that. After, for the level 3, so if we speak about passenger cars, the HMI for level 3, it's not so different from level 2. It just for few minutes, hours, you can remove your hand from steering wheel and don't look at the road and just do other things. So, of course, for this free time, you are not obliged to supervise the driving. We can provide feature like movie, internet browsing, and so on, but it will be done with current HMI. Of course, we can imagine bigger display, more comfortable use, and so on, but it's not a very different cockpit than we have now for high-end car. And of course, this system will be dedicated for very high-end car. So there is already big display, big digital instrument cluster, and so on in the top level of the lineup of our cars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. This is how much I see it as well. Because I mean, at the moment you pay something like 10,000, 12,000 euros for all the sensors and the electronics that you need on level 4 and 5, and if you add this one to a 20,000 euros car, no one will pay it.
Yes, and the current revolution, it's more on the powertrain, because there is a very hard pressure to go to electric powertrain, of course. Mm-hmm. So this is a cost. So the car price goes up due to the electrification. So yes, as you say, it's difficult to ask a user to pay twice the price to have autonomous feature in their cars. It's at the end, it's too expensive.
Yeah. All right. Stefan, I can't believe it, but our time is already more than over.
Okay.
I have one final question for you. Is there anything that you want to tell my listeners, any piece of knowledge, any piece of wisdom, a knowledge nugget that you want to drop to my listeners?
Oh, very right. A lot of things, but yes, we... In our daily job, we try to work always to provide the best HMI and the best things for the end user. And one point, and I give this every time, it's as we are very technical and very expert people in charge of the development, and it's always a internal struggle to be in the right mindset, because we know very well the system, we know very well the constraints, and we sometimes lose the user point of view. So one very important point, it's to struggle every day to keep this mindset, to think as the final user can think. And honestly, final user don't know very well how the system work, don't know all the stereotype and so on. So we need to put the right mindset every time to think as the normal user can operate and understood our system. And it's very important to think like the user. It's not easy, because we are very expert in our domain. We know these things from long time, so we have habits and so on. But yes, every time, try to find and to think as a user.
I couldn't have said it any better, Stefan.
Okay.
This is exactly what I'm doing when I stand up every morning. This drives me out of bed, saying, okay, we need this user focus to keep technology in a way on a level that humans can use it. So thanks a lot for your time. I learned a lot during this interview. I thought I know you pretty well, but I learned quite a lot about you and from you. So thank you. Thank you very much for spending time with me.
Thank you for the invitation again.
That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.